On behalf of Pete, Kerry, Lee, and the family, I say thank you for your words of sympathy, your prayers, and your presence here this afternoon. This is a service of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for the life of Lorraine. She's not here. She's at home with the Lord. In the words of the song, let's make a memory. Let's share some history. Let's sing a melody that sounds a lot like home. Let's stop and sit a spell. We've got so much to tell. Because we're family, let's make a memory. And as we do that, let us not forget that hearts are grieving and aching this afternoon. But we're here to offer hope to grieving friends and relatives. At a time such as this, we can draw comfort from the living God and from his word, the Bible. Jesus was at the graveside of a dear friend, Lazarus, and he comforted the mourning relatives with these famous words, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Let's pray, shall we? Almighty God, a very present help in time of trouble, you have given us the Lord Jesus Christ, one who understands our human weakness and sorrow. We ask that as we draw near in your presence, that you may draw near to us. We remember when our Lord walked our scene, that he was no stranger to such gatherings as this. But each time he brought comfort and hope. May we this afternoon be aware of your presence in a real way and know something of that great love you have for each of us. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would like to take your order of services, we're going to sing the first hymn, Above the Voices of the World Around Me, My Hopes and Dreams, My Cares and Loves and Fears. And we'll stand to sing. Memories and appreciations, and I've been asked to read the first. Several months ago, Lee sat down with Lorraine and just put a few things to paper. And it's always good on these occasions to just have a little bit of the background. You've known Lorraine through church, through work, family. And a lot of us probably do not know just where Lorraine and her family came from. Lorraine Leslie Yeoman was born on the 12th of November, 1957. The fourth daughter to Herbert Robert George and Thelma June Yeoman, known as Bob and June, at number 7 Grassmere House, Paulsgrove. Lorraine had a very happy childhood, surrounded by her four sisters in Paulsgrove before moving age 10 to Fifth Street, Fratton, where June was to give birth to a sixth daughter. June and Bob sent the girls to Sunday school each week, with Lorraine attending Paulsgrove Gospel Hall until she moved to Fratton. Once the family moved to Fifth Street, the girls then attended Copner Gospel Hall. Lorraine also attended a youth club at Bedhampton on Saturday nights as a teenager, before being baptized at Copner when she was 15 years old. In 1976, Lorraine made the decision to move away from the family home to Bristol to begin teacher training. However, on Boxing Day 1976, after her first term at Bristol, she was involved in a car accident, which prevented her return to Bristol. During her brief time at Bristol, Lorraine was fortunate enough to meet Mara, who became a great friend and remained so until her death. In 1977, Lorraine started her nursing training, which she was to make her career for the next 29 years before retiring as a sister in elderly medicine. Whilst nursing, Lorraine made lots of good friends and was also a great comfort to the patients she looked after. In June 1978, she married Alan and they had two children together, the first a boy named Lee, followed by a daughter named Kerry. Lorraine continued to work nights whilst the children were growing up, which meant she had to sleep in the daytime, which was not always possible with two young children who liked to fight a lot. I don't believe that, as all young siblings do. However, it was not just Lee and Kerry that Lorraine had to cope with. As a result of the untimely death of her friend Lynn Buckland, Lorraine found herself helping to look after both Simon and Sarah, who were like a son and daughter to her. Children played a very important part in Lorraine's life right up to her death. This was evident in the time she spent at kids' club camps and toddler groups throughout the years, and also the time spent with both Jade and Cherish as they were growing up. In June 2003, Lorraine and Alan went their separate ways but remained friends in the ensuing years. It was at this point she moved into the nurses' quarters, where she remained until January 2004, when Lorraine went to care for her mum June, who was terminally ill. Sadly, her mum passed away in March 2004, and this was followed a month later by a further tragedy when Simon, that was the boy and Sarah that she brought up, was killed in a road traffic accident. Both these events greatly affected Lorraine's future life. In January 2005, Lorraine was diagnosed with malignant melanoma, which was to alter her life forever. In future years, she faced many challenges, but met each of these with dignity and a rare strength, which was an inspiration to all who met her and knew her. In September 2005, Lorraine was to marry Pete in Scotland, with family and close friends, Tula and Paul, in attendance. Lorraine moved to Loxeith, where despite the cancer, Lorraine was very happy. She became a member of Duncan Road Church, where she found many new friends and where her faith continued to grow. Lorraine always felt very fortunate to have a very close-knit family and friends who were there for her in the good and the tough times. In May 2008, Kerry gave Lorraine her first grandchild when she gave birth to Ellie Mae. And Ellie Mae was to become a constant in Lorraine's life until her death. Never was she happier than when she was playing with Ellie and caring for her. And Ellie loved Nanny and was very fortunate to have such a kind and caring Nanny who always put her first in everything that she did. Lorraine was again blessed in June 2010 with the birth of her first grandson, Carter, whom she loved giving cuddles to as only a nanny could. Ellie and Carter will always grow up knowing how special they were to Nanny and how much she loved them. Thank you. Now, Lee is going to come up and give some thoughts and reflections, followed by Kerry, and then Carol, one of the sisters, is going to come up and read a poem. Thank you, Lee. You're first. I knew the order would change somewhere along the line, but...
Lots of people. Mum asked me a while ago now if I'd write something for today. However, I didn't think I'd be able to express in words just how wonderful and amazing our mum was. So my friend recently sent me a poem, which I thought was just right, and I'd like to read that instead. God saw you getting tired when a cure was not to be, so he wrapped his arms around you and whispered, "Come to me." You didn't deserve what you went through, so he gave you rest. God's garden must be beautiful. He only takes the best. So when I saw you sleeping, and so peaceful and free from pain, I could not wish you back to suffer that again.
There are a few people in this world that no one has a bad word to say about, but Mum was one such person. Throughout her life, she always put others first, helping anyone who needed it and never asking for anything in return. During her long illness, Mum fought her cancer with dignity and a rare courage that was an inspiration to all who knew her. Even though sometimes it was clear that Mum was in pain, she was still more worried about others than herself. Whenever you asked her how she was, you'd always get the same response. "I'm fine. How are you?" Everyone who knew Mum will know that she loved children. Both Kerry and I were so lucky to have such a kind, caring and loving mum. However, it's not just us who benefited from her love. Others, including Simon and Sarah, who she loved like a son and daughter, Cherish, her special goddaughter, and more recently Ellie and Carter, were fortunate enough to have Mum in their lives. Mum loved being a nanny, and even though the last few years were tough, she treasured the time she spent with Ellie, and more recently the cuddles she had with Carter. Both Ellie and Carter will grow up knowing just how special their nanny was. The following poem reminds me of a conversation I had recently with Mum. Whereas normal, she was more worried about us that had been left behind, rather than her own well-being. And this to me sums up the sort of person she was. "You can shed tears that I'm gone, or you can smile because I have lived. You can close your eyes and pray I come back, or you can open your eyes and see all that I've left. Your heart can be empty because you can't see me, or it can be full of the love we shared. You can turn your back on tomorrow and live yesterday, or you can be happy for tomorrow because of yesterday. You can remember me that I've gone, or you can cherish my memory and let it live on. You can cry, close your mind, be empty and turn your back. Or you can do what I'd want, smile, open your eyes, love and go on. Mum will always love you and cherish the memories of the time we spent together. Until we meet again, sleep well. God bless."
Sisters, forever entwined, six closer siblings, you'll struggle to find. Sharing our lives for so many years, the joys, the troubles, the smiles and tears. Lorraine especially, caring so much, was blessed at birth with the human touch. Thinking of others is just what she did, yet under a bushel her light it was hid. And that's why her passing has dealt such a blow. We can't understand why our sister had to go. Now five of us have an ache in our heart. We will miss her forever while we are apart. But life is a gift with no guarantees. So let's put a smile on our lips if we please. Remember her fondly without too much fuss. She loved us all dearly, Mum, Dad, and us. Good night, Lor. God bless. You were simply the best.
Thank you for that, and no doubt many of you have got your own memories and appreciations. Kerry has asked if we can listen to the CD Wind Beneath My Wings. I think this is particularly a feeling from Kerry, but no doubt from the rest of the family as well. So we're going to listen to that now, and then after that Gordon is going to come up and offer up a prayer of thanksgiving for the life of Lorraine.
It must have been cold there in my shadow to never have sunlight on your face. You were content to let me shine, that's your way. You always walked a step. So I
be embarrassed to cry. The Lord gave us feelings, and strong feelings for Lorraine are obviously evident. We love Lorraine in lots of ways, and we shall miss her in lots of ways as a friend. We shall miss her in church. As I preached on a Sunday and looked out, Lorraine and Pete were always there. Always late, but always there. Very faithful, very loyal. For the young people's work we were involved in on house parties and camps, Lorraine always signed up first. Pete had no choice. Lorraine was coming. He'd come as well. Not that he resisted. And our memories are someone who was loyal, faithful, and dependable. And we've heard some memories already. And just as I lead us in a prayer, I think it'd be good if we just pause. And why not thank the Lord for the memories you have of Lorraine? So let's just have a moment of quiet reflection as we each remember Lorraine and the joy and the love that she brought into all of our lives. Let's pray. Loving God, we thank you for each memory we have of Lorraine. Thank you for what she meant to each person gathered here. Thank you for the happy memories of Lorraine that flood our hearts and our minds. We thank you for her faith and commitment to Jesus Christ, for that happy day when Jesus washed her sins away. Thank you, Lord, that it was evident she followed you, the living Christ. Thank you for the service she performed in so many different situations, for involvement with young people on camps and house parties, for her involvement with children's groups and holiday groups, and wherever there was an opportunity, Lorraine seemed willing to step in and to lend a hand. So we thank you for her life of participation and involvement, and we thank you for her example to others. And now, Lord, we pray for Pete, for Lee, for Kerry, and the family. We ask as we honour her memory, make us more aware that you are the God she served and followed and loved. A God who gives us light even in our times of darkness, who gives us peace even in our times of turmoil, who gives joy even in times of sadness, who gives comfort even in times of distress. We thank you that Lorraine clung onto the words and the promise of the Lord Jesus, who could say, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Lord, we ask that each of us might discover the reality of that promise for ourselves, and we might discover you as the God of all comfort and of all life. So again, Lord, we give you our thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We're going to sing the next hymn on the sheet, The Lord's My Shepherd. It was after Lorraine had her first operation that we sat down and we talked about this day. And many of the hymns that we're singing now, she chose then. A couple of months ago, we sat down again and we reviewed. And she made one or two amendments. And this was one of those amendments. The Lord's my shepherd, I'll not want. He makes me lie in pastures green. Let's stand to sing, shall we?
Thank you.
Thank you. Be seated. Penny is now going to come and give us the reading that we'll base our thoughts on in a few moments. Thank you, Penny.
Right, we're going to read together from Acts chapter 9 and verse 36. Just a short passage about Dorcas. In Joppa, there was a disciple named Tabitha, which when translated is Dorcas, who was always doing good and helping the poor. And about that time, she became sick and died. And her body was washed and placed in the upstairs room. Lydda was near Joppa, so when the disciples heard that Peter was in Lydda, they sent two men to him and urged him, "Please, come at once." Peter went with them, and when he arrived, he was taken upstairs to the room. All the widows stood around him, crying and showing him the robes and the other clothing that Dorcas had made them while she was still with them. Peter sent them all out of the room, and then he got down on his knees and prayed. Turning towards the dead woman, he said, "Tabitha, get up." She opened her eyes, and seeing Peter, she sat up. He took her by the hand, and he helped her to her feet. And then he called the believers and the widows and presented her to them alive. This became known all over Joppa, and many people believed in the Lord.
Thank you.
Penny read to us the story of Dorcas, a woman who made an impression on the life of the early church. We don't know how old she was, but she comes over as a woman with bags of energy and get up and go. Her name actually means gazelle. Now, I know what you're thinking. No way could Lorraine be described as having athletic tendencies similar to that of a gazelle. I'd agree with you. No, but she did have extraordinary energy. If there was a family get-together, she would be there. If there was a church activity, Lorraine would be involved. She threw herself into mothers and toddlers, Alpha and Christianity explored courses, camps, and haste parties. And did that energy diminish as her cancer began to take effect? No. In fact, time and time again, she would come back fighting. She insisted at being at the carols by candlelight service this last Christmas, even if it meant coming out in a special ambulance car. Twice we had our haste group in her lounge, Lorraine in her hospital bed, and the rest of us gathered around her. Lorraine, boundless in energy and a fighter to the end. If the word fighter springs to mind, then the word family can't be far behind. We first came into contact with Lorraine around 2001, 2002, and it wasn't long after that we became aware of her sisters. In fact, we soon discovered that wherever Lorraine went, her sisters were sure to follow. They've been to church on numerous occasions, and I believe until recently used to go out for a meal once a week, was that right? When Lorraine married Pete, they even went with them on their honeymoon. Can you believe that? On Lorraine's last Sunday in the hospice, we gathered around her bed. There was Pete, Lee, Kerry, and Bob, Lorraine's dad. We read the scriptures and prayed. And as I opened my eyes, I realized we were not alone. Crammed into that hospital room while I was playing were all her sisters, their husbands, and friends. And I suggested maybe they build an extension. Knowing that Lorraine was peaceful and ready to go, and I think you too were all ready for her to go, I said, you need to be sensible. And before I could finish, I believe Debbie said, sense? That's something this family has never had. Well, let me tell you, whatever you think you lacked, you have made up for being kind, generous, loving, and thoughtful to each other. And for that, I applaud you. To Kerry, to Lee, to Pete, for those long bedside vigils over a period of 6 or 7 days, to me that's just amazing. Demonstrates the love and respect that you had for a wife and for a mother. Around the bed of Dorcas in that upstairs room were gathered her family and also many of her friends. And they were crying as they showed the garments and clothing Dorcas had made for them. Now again, I believe I'm right in saying that Lorraine was not a seamstress. And I don't think she was that fond of needlework. You're going to have to darn your own socks now, Pete. and perhaps you would have difficulty in showing some dress or shirt she may have made for you. What I can be sure of, she never forgot that birthday card, that bunch of flowers when you were feeling down, that thoughtful note to cheer you up. I still wear the shirt she gave me. It's a lovely shirt. The bottles of wine are gone, but I've still got the small bottle of champagne. Never did ask her why only a small bottle. As I look out, there are many friends here this afternoon who can testify to some act of kindness, some word of encouragement, some gift given with all the generosity that Lorraine possessed. A fighter she was, friends and family plentiful, but it's her faith above all else that should speak this afternoon. What motivated Dorcas? Well, it was her faith. It was said of Dorcas, she was a disciple. She was a follower of Jesus. You know, when Lorraine and I talked about this day, I said, Lorraine, is there anything you particularly want me to say? Do you know what she said? No, I trust you to say the right thing. Do you know what the right thing is? The right thing is simply this, that Lorraine is right and will forever be right. I don't mean everything she said and did was right. No, she would be the first to admit to mistakes in her life. But listen, she is right. She is righteous in God's eyes. And because of that one fact, Lorraine is now in his very presence. In the songs and hymns she has chosen, Lorraine has tried to tell us something about her faith. You see, there was a day back in those Copner Gospel Hall days when she fixed her choice on Jesus. And it was a happy day. She responded to the call of her Saviour. We sung, drawn by that cross which moves a heart of stone. Nay, Lord, I come, my tale of sin confessing, and in repentance turn to you alone. And it did not stop there. All that I am, I place within your hands. Let me become what you shall choose to make me, freed from the guilt and burden of my sins. Jesus is mine, who never shall forsake me, and in his love my newborn life begins. There's a verse in Psalm 139, which says this. These ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. In other words, God knew our date of death before we were ever born. This is a rendezvous we all have to keep. For some sooner, for some later. For Lorraine, all she had to do was to die. Her bags were packed and ready to go. And I remember her saying on a couple of occasions at our house group, she quoted this song, "This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." She's now at home. She's now at peace. No more pain. And she is awaiting that glorious day when the Lord will give her a new body. And yes, he's going to give her new legs. Do you know the challenge that Lorraine would have us face up to is simply this. When it comes time to die, make sure all you have to do is die. When it comes time to die, make sure all you have to do is die. And that's a challenge to speaker and listeners alike. Lorraine was ready. She was prepared for that day. She was ready to go. She was just waiting for the Lord to call her. Because of Dorcas's life, death, and resurrection, many people believed in the Lord. And I'm sure that would be Lorraine's wish about her life and her death. When Lorraine chose these hymns, she wanted to be still for the presence of the Lord. It was her favourite. And at the time I thought, whereabouts are we going to put that hymn? Is it the sort of hymn you have at a Thanksgiving service? But thinking about this last night, that last verse, be still, for the power of the Lord is moving in this place. He comes to cleanse and heal, to minister his grace. No work too hard for him. In faith, receive him. Be still, for the power of the Lord, and I believe that, is moving in this place. Let's pray. Dear Holy Spirit, dear Lord Jesus, in these few moments, touch our hearts and help us all to respond to your grace. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's say the Lord's Prayer together. It's on the sheet. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Let's stand as we sing the last hymn. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This is a tremendous song of hope. And Lorraine would have us raise the rafters. It's a good job it's here and not on Duncan Road. But if you know it, sing it with all your heart, okay? In Christ alone. mind standing for prayer. O God, the strength of the weak, the comfort of the sorrowful, the friend of the lonely, let not sorrow overwhelm them, nor anguish of heart turn them from you. May they appreciate that the eternal God can be their refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Nay, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the comfort of the Holy Spirit, be our enjoyed portion now and until we see our Saviour face to face. Amen. My thanks to the musicians, to Jackie, Naomi, and Phil. Thank you too for all you who have come. The family and close friends are going down to the cemetery at Posbrook Lane for a very short committal, and then we'll be going back up to Duncan Road for refreshments, and you are all invited to come there. Go out of the gate, turn right, go all the way up Huntsbourne Road to the roundabout, second left, Botley Road, first right, Duncan Road. Thank you. We're now going to let the undertakers come, and as they come, the CD, I'll walk with God. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God.
I walk with God from this day on. His helping hand I lean upon. This is my prayer, my humble plea. May the Lord be ever with me. There is no death, though eyes grow dim.
Destroy!